And we are coming to you live from the Quicken Loans Studios. Oh, I beg your pardon. Not just the Quicken Loans Studios, the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans Studios. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. It's Ken Carmen on CBS Sports Radio, 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. A big thanks to Sekou Smith who just joined us. We'll get back to that coming up here in a little bit. I want to get to the NFL here in a moment and Antonio Brown. It's totally believable that John Gruden believes that the rebuild of the Oakland Raiders starts with a 31-year-old wide receiver. So these rumors about the Raiders are absolutely true, at least plausible. I got to bring in Hickey. Hickey.
Yes, Ken.
What is it with you guys? I just want to know. What is it with you? And you haven't seen anything. You haven't seen Making or not. You just finished Making a Murderer, right?
Yes.
But you haven't seen Abducted in Plain Sight yet.
I have not, but that's on purpose. I've heard it's pretty scarring, so I think I might stay away from that.
So it's you, Boccioni hasn't seen it, and Chris Lopresti hasn't seen it.
Correct, but Chris Lopresti, wants to see it.
Is Larry Ridley in the room? Is he around? You got to ask. I'm not asking you to go run for him right now. Someone's got to figure out who saw it. So you cannot say... There's got to be some. You know what? I'll just throw it out there. 855-212-4CBS. And Hickey, I'm telling you, when you watch this documentary, your mouth will be agape.
Oh, I mean, I know the premise, and it already is agape without even seeing it.
Oh, did you? Okay. Well, the premise of the guy, he takes the daughter twice.
Yes. Insanity.
Okay. Do you know the? How do I put this?
The brainwashing?
No. Anybody who saw this, anybody who saw Abducted in Plain Sight is going, yeah, Ken, how you going to put this? Have you heard about, it's about half hour in?
Well, see, that doesn't help.
The father and the abductor. And
Yes.
You've heard about that? Then yes. You've seen it. Then you basically you've
I've seen
it.
The clip. It made a rounds of social media when another sports story in that same area broke.
Oh dear. So you saw that?
Yes.
What was your feelings?
I had a lot of questions, and it sounds like watching this whole documentary to have even more questions. So
see, if you saw that, you took a shortcut, because if you see that part. You have to watch the whole thing leading up to that because you're like, I cannot believe this guy just said this on the television. I cannot believe this guy had a camera in his face and just said this. And then you find out everything else. It's a very maddening documentary. It really is. But when you see that part, see, you basically cheated. I'm a little bit disappointed in you right now, Hickey.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to cheat. I didn't realize it was such a big part. That was a very small, minuscule part.
Oh, that's a big part, buddy. That is a big, big part. That is I'm trying not to say more because I don't want to give it away. When you bring it up, like Lima, who will be in after me, even though we host a show together Monday through Friday, I got him to watch it, and we talked about it, and little by little, there are people going, I cannot believe you guys told me to watch that. This is terrible. This is just the most horrific stuff I've seen in my life, and it's because of that part that they are questioning some things. And so you know what part I'm talking about.
Yes, but I'll say this. If that part leads them to questions, I mean, the whole documentary itself with the parents volunteering to relive the whole scenario again is... that's the first question that should be asked.
Yeah, it's some strong stuff, man. It's some strong stuff that people look like idiots. They look like some of the dumbest parents ever. Now, so I'm getting the tweets now. Thank you very much, John Hall. Uh-huh. It's coming in. If you've seen it, you know what I'm talking about. Now, you finally saw Making a Murderer 2 after I begged you for months?
Yes. I I've finally finished it.
All right. Who do you think did it now? I mean, it's been... How long has this thing been out? I can say who I think did it now, right?
Oh, yeah. It's been out probably at least, 5-6 months.
I think Brendan Dassey's brother did it.
Oh, I was just going to say Bobby Dassey for sure.
Yeah, I think he did it.
Do you think the stepfather had anything to do with it?
I think he had something to do with it.
I think
that
so
guy
too.
That guy don't convince me whatsoever. That guy wears old NASCAR coats still. That guy ain't convincing me of nothing. Okay?
The computer searches should say it all.
Yeah. And everybody's like, man, this Kathleen Zellner woman, boy, she's mean. I'm like, that means this guy killed a woman. My God. Hey, I know that not necessarily the greatest thing to hear from, but it's true. Did Boccioni see it yet? He probably didn't.
I haven't seen that one either.
Of course you haven't seen it. All you guys sit there and you just watch Devils games and Rangers games and Islanders games. That's all you guys do. You guys don't watch anything with any sort of zeal.
I'm more of a movie guy, to be honest.
Hickey.
Yes.
So you think the brother did it?
100%.
Like at first I go, man, because I used to fight people. I used to get in hardcore fights with D'Aloisio. I used to say, man, he did it. I'm telling you, Steve Avery did it. The guy threw a cat in a fire. You tell me that guy ain't capable of doing that? He did it. It's sick. He did it. And Brendan Dassey, I know he got hoodwinked by the police, and that's a shame. But Brendan Dassey was obviously there in some sort of manner, and maybe it wasn't the right thing to do. And I saw the second one. I'm going, nope, wasn't him. Wasn't Steve Avery. Steve Avery's in prison for a crime he didn't commit. There's a guy who's free right now who should be in prison. And if you ask me, it's Brendan Dassey's brother. That's right, America. We're breaking it down. 855-212-4CBS. So now there's got to be a third part that's going to be coming out. Didn't he get himself a new trial again?
I believe so. Kathleen Zellner keeps on tweeting about, I know that at least in the appellate courts, they had at least a reviewal or a new case. So there has to be Making Murder 3 about the case moving forward, right?
If I'm Steve Avery, yes. If I get out of prison, the first thing I'm doing is going to a network and hosting a Judge Judy type of show. Steve Avery has spent his entire life in a courtroom, basically. You're telling me that people wouldn't watch that Steve Avery up there? Wears the same type of thing with the doily around the neck like Judge Judy does and is sitting there giving judgments on $500 crimes and over something that some guy didn't pay his rent on his girlfriend? You're telling me people wouldn't watch that, Hick?
I'd watch it.
You're damn right you'd watch that. America would watch it, too. They'd be hooked on that. All right, time to move on to serious business. Yeah, I could sit here and talk Making a Murder and Abducted in Plain Sight for days. If you haven't seen Abducted in Plain Sight, I'll just tell you this. There's a bunch of guys going around going, you don't know what you're getting into. You won't know what you're getting into. I thought it was just going to be a little true crime, hour and a half, documentary. I figured something messed up was going to happen. I didn't know it was going to get that crazy. And when you know the part, when you find that part in the documentary, you're going to know what I'm talking about. And you're going, man, Ken was right. So if you got any spare time today, maybe before Duke UNC or after Duke UNC, go ahead and watch it. It's only an hour and a half, about 90 minutes. It's wild. It ends on a pretty positive note. I'll give you that. But there will be a part in it that really throws you off. Really throws you off. Something that really threw us off earlier this week was Antonio Brown. He went on LeBron James' show. And he also went on ESPN, but we have what he said with LeBron James. Now, it's hard to take Antonio Brown seriously, but I want to give him that chance. This is LeBron James on the shop from HBO earlier this week. Go.
I would have liked for me and Ben to be cool. You know what I mean? I thought we was cool, but when I think, I've been in his house one time. He's been in my house one time. You know what I mean? We don't work out in the offseason. It's like, yo, if we really want to win, you think that's winning? That's not winning. That's not a winning culture. You know what I mean? If I'm gonna do something within the team, we gotta be on the same page. We gotta understand each other. We gotta know what we set out to do. I don't even have to play football if I don't want, bro. I don't even need the game. You know what I'm saying? I don't need to prove nothing to anyone. If they wanna play, they're gonna play by my rules. If not, I don't need to play.
You want the game now?
No, I don't. I mean, okay? Obviously I want the game, but I don't need the game. It's a different. You know what I'm saying? I don't need to play for no one. Like, I'm happy. You see this paid off cash. I don't owe no one. I'm a millionaire, bro. I'm an entrepreneur. Like, I don't have to prove no one anything. I don't take any blame. I just think I took responsibility for my situation. You know, I didn't point a finger. I didn't make no one look bad. I didn't throw no stones at anyone.
That actually is the Jeff Darlington interview. You hear what he says right there. And for a lot of football fans, the second he says he doesn't need football, you tune him out. Because football fans love football, and they want guys who play for the favorite teams to love the game, to want the game. And we always talk about this when it comes to the NFL, is that guys who love what football gives you and who love the sport, they get separated real quick. But what he is saying, and you hear him, it's all paid off. All this is paid off. He says he's an entrepreneur. I don't know his businesses. I don't even care about that stuff. But if he says he wants to win and he wants to compete, I don't want to disbelieve him. According to him, he said he went to Mike Tomlin. Mike Tomlin said, nah, we're good. That's his story. Now, I want to hear it on the other side, but Mike Tomlin isn't going to tell it, and the Pittsburgh Steelers aren't going to let him tell it, and they're not going to tell it to begin anyway. So all I can do is hear what Antonio Brown has to say about that matter. Because the Steelers are going to do what they can to just make the situation go away, and they're just not going to talk. So the only person I'm hearing talk is Antonio Brown. And when I watch the video, he's got his mustache dyed blonde. He's got basically a clown face going on. Like, he looks like a clown at a putt-putt course. Let's just be serious about this. But if I can close my eyes and listen to the words and then remember the play that he was capable of while he was still an active member of the Steelers up to week 17 this last year. The best pound-for-pound wide receiver in the NFL. The best, most consistent pound-for-pound wide receiver in the NFL. I'm looking over here, and I see Antonio Brown talking about this, and I hear people blaming Antonio Brown. And if I just close my eyes and don't see the pro wrestling type figure, basically the Brutus the Barber Beefcake type figure who's sitting in his chair in his own house talking to Jeff Darlington in front of me, and if I just close my eyes and actually focus on what's said, Antonio Brown makes a point. And he's backing up what we have been talking about with this Pittsburgh Steelers team for a long time. A great collection of talent. A team that has been capable year after year of winning a Super Bowl and hasn't been getting there since. And you start to wonder, why am I turning a wide receiver into a scapegoat? Why is there a wide receiver who's a possibility for a scapegoat here? Why am I blaming him? If I'm in a position to blame a wide receiver for the downfall of a football team, I have to aim higher. Because a wide receiver can be a big piece. He can be great. He can do a lot of things for an organization. Antonio Brown is an elite-level wide receiver. He does all those things for him. But if we're talking about the downfall of the Pittsburgh Steelers, I don't care. And I know that everybody keeps trying to point in his direction, and he's doing himself no favors. He's talking too much. He's putting too much out there on social media. He's taking too many shots at people. They see bad teammate, cancer, bad guy. Oh, just look at him. He looks like a clown, my God. And they give me these arguments for him, and I think, wait a minute. You're going to let a wide receiver be the cancer of the football team. You're going to let him take down an organization. Technically, if you want to make arguments, it's happened before, but I would still aim higher than those wide receivers, and I would aim higher than Antonio Brown. I can only right now, because the Steelers don't want to talk about it really, I can only take Antonio Brown at his word. So if I listen to him, I've only been to Ben's house once. He's only been to my house once. We don't talk really in the offseason. We don't work together in the offseason. I want to work together in the offseason. Now it takes two to tango. Has he really been reaching out? I'm not sure about that. Maybe I question about it. Maybe he did at the beginning of their relationship. And as time goes on, he says, well, it doesn't really work out that way. So probably I'll just stay away from Ben Roethlisberger. If that's the way things are and you get over the hump and you still win, that's fine. Not every teammate has to get along with one another. But if things aren't working out, I still look at a wide receiver and I think, as great and as talented as Antonio Brown is, you're still an ancillary piece. You're still on the periphery. Ben Roethlisberger is supposed to be the leader of that football team. Number seven is supposed to be the leader of that football team. Mike Tomlin's supposed to be the leader of that football team. In simpatico, they're supposed to be working with that team and taking them to the next level. I know that people want to look at Antonio Brown and think that he's a goofball and blame him. And he's taken a lot of that criticism, and there's things that he absolutely deserves criticism for. The speeding ticket, what happened down in Miami, what pictures or tape there could possibly be of what went on with him and his girlfriend or whatever it is. There's some things there that, yes, make it prohibitive for another team to make a trade for him. And he talking has not made things easier. But you're dealing with the Pittsburgh Steelers. And the more you talk, the worse you're going to make things for yourself. Look at what happened with Le'Veon Bell. But for all that I say about Antonio Brown and trying to work him through his situation, talking about his situation, I still look at the Pittsburgh Steelers and I think, how much better are you going to be without him? I know you have Juju Smith-Schuster. You can't tell me that Antonio Brown didn't make things easier for Juju Smith-Schuster and vice versa. Now you're without one of those guys. You told me you had James Conner. James Conner got hurt. Would have been nice to probably have Le'Veon Bell if that were the case. But you can't make Le'Veon Bell sign, and you did offer him a fair contract, so I just gave you that one with the check in the box. but not being able to get to the postseason in a division that isn't that great or wasn't that great for a team that you were competing with the Baltimore Ravens, who were about to fire their coach halfway through the year. It's not just that you didn't miss the playoffs. It's that what was expected of you was a team that was supposed to compete for a Super Bowl. And while we want to blame a guy who has a little bit too much glitz and a little bit too much glam and looks like one of Elton John's pianos while he's out there talking up a storm in front of the media, I don't blame him as much as I blame Ben Roethlisberger. I don't blame him as much as I blame Mike Tomlin. 855-212-4CBS. Coming up next, more of this. And, hey, you could trade him. It makes sense. But why do it when you don't need to? It's Ken Carmen on CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
This is the Ken Carmen Show on CBS Sports Radio.
This is the most important season of Ben Roethlisberger's career. I'm going to tell you about that in a moment. I'm looking at some of the tweets. John, Brown's giving insight into the dysfunction within the Steelers. I wonder what other skeletons are in the closet. KGB, you're so off on the Steeler issue. Him and Ben did practice in the offseason, and there's YouTube video of it. Don't give Brown a pass. He's lying and quitting on his team. Yes, he's the best wide receiver in football. He's acting like an ass. What did Ben do? Win a couple of Super Bowls. AB, zero. Hey, I know Ben Roethlisberger won a couple of Super Bowls. I'm not taking that away from him. But when you're on a team that has this collection of talent, what would Tom Brady do with this collection of talent? I want to know. And Aaron Rodgers, who got a coach fired this year, what would Aaron Rodgers do with this level of talent? What would Drew Brees do with this level of talent? You look at that Pittsburgh Steelers football team. Good drafts for the most part. I know defenses lacked. Don't kill me, 93-7. Defenses lacked here and there. You still got good offensive linemen that have been hemmed up. It's good offensive linemen, good enough where you've been able to trade one away over the last 24 hours. You've been able to do good work on that. You've had a solid wide receiver core. You've been able to switch around running backs because of the type of quarterback that you have. You've been able to switch out other coaches. You have Super Bowl quality talent. And you haven't been able to get over that hump. And I watch Ben Roethlisberger's every single game. What are you doing at the end of Jacksonville? What are you doing at the end of Denver? What are you really doing to make sure that things are taken care of for your football team? I wouldn't let any quarterback get away with it. When you have that level of talent and you fail to make the postseason, I need to look at who's under center, and I need to look at who's on the sidelines with the big headset on. Those are the two, not number 84. That isn't the guy. That isn't the way it is, and that's never going to be the way it is. So this is what's going on for the Pittsburgh Steelers. Let me get this right over the last couple of years. Because again, what I read here on social media and what I see all over is still more problems. And still more excuses. Last year, well, you see, Le'Veon Bell don't want to be a part of anything, so now we have problems with that, and we got rid of that guy. Antonio Brown doesn't want to be a part of anything. He doesn't want to be a Steeler anymore, so we got rid of that guy. Okay, still keep trying to do addition by subtraction somehow and see how that one works. It's still all these other guys' fault. While you don't get to where you were supposed to go last year, lose a home game against the Jacksonville Jaguars at home in the freezing cold, the coldest game in Heinz Field history, and then the next year not even make the playoffs against a team where they started Lamar Jackson halfway through the year, who isn't that great of a quarterback, who was able to run a gimmick offense. Sorry, Baltimore, it's true. Able to run a gimmick offense, whose coach was almost fired halfway through the year, against the freaking Browns, for crying out loud, who are still getting their ass together when they had Hugh Jackson as their head coach, and then Marvin Lewis in Cincinnati when Andy Dalton didn't even that good and he got hurt halfway through the year. You weren't able to make the postseason then? But this is Antonio Brown's fault. Okay, I got it. That's right. Antonio Brown, who I'm not saying is a saint, he's not. And it worries me that there's supposedly some photos or some video of something that might have went down in South Florida with his girlfriend. That is concerning. Antonio Brown, the same guy who was caught doing over 100 on Mount Pleasant. The same Antonio Brown that, yes, does have problems and is certainly no saint. But if you're really telling me that it's Antonio Brown's and Le'Veon Bell's fault that you didn't get to the postseason. That is the saddest ass excuse I've ever heard or read in my life. So this is what it comes down to for 2019. Ben Roethlisberger, who you know is always threatening to retire, and it's never anybody's fault but his, and he goes to the media and he says that it's everybody else's fault except for his, and that he has every right to criticize those guys. This is the biggest season of Ben Roethlisberger's career, because now the division is changing. I don't know what Cincinnati's going to be. You got Zach Taylor, who they're trying to kind of pick off the tree as Sean McVay, and maybe he'll be the next Sean McVay, even though he says he's not going to be the next Sean McVay. And maybe things will be better in Cincinnati. I don't know. The offensive line looks like they're going to still get better over time, and we'll see. Maybe last year the injuries caught up, and they'll be better in 2019. You have Baltimore, where I don't know how great Lamar Jackson is going to be long term, but John Harbaugh is a hell of a coach. We know he's going to be able to coach him up. We know that they got a good defense even when they lose C.J. Mosley, and they'll still have a pretty strong offensive line. And then you have the Browns, who have Baker Mayfield. They're supposed to be a better team, and there's a guy who's supposed to want to take over that division. And then you have the grand old man in Ben Roethlisberger, where the other guys in the division, even if you're a Lamar Jackson lover or a Baker Mayfield lover, you have two young quarterbacks there who smell blood in that water. So this is where it's at on Ben Roethlisberger. If you take yourself back to the top, guys like KGB and the other ones on Twitter, the guys calling us up who are spitting mad right now, meaner than a dog crapping tax right now. Well, you're all right. And I'm the one who's wrong. I'm the dummy. You're the one who's right. It was really Antonio Brown, and it was really Le'Veon Bell. It's those guys not wanting to do it the Steeler way or the Ben Roethlisberger way, according to Kevin Colbert. So it's those guys who are wrong. But if it's the Browns who were to win the division for the first time in 30 years, or if it were the Ravens to go back and do it again with John Harbaugh, or even certainly Cincinnati, where does this leave you with your excuse train for Ben Roethlisberger? Yeah, I know he's won two Super Bowls. I expect more of him because of that. 855-212-4CBS. Coming up next, Jason Cole, fan-sided editor-in-chief.
This is the Ken Carmen Show on CBS Sports Radio.
Let this one play for a second, James. There it is. When you in Texas, look behind you. Because that's where Jason Cole is going to be. About to have Jason Cole on here in just a moment. First, let me tell you, CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line, 855-212-4CBS, brought to you by Geico. There's great news. You can switch money or save money by switching to Geico. It's a quick way to save that money. You go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on car insurance. With that, we do. We welcome in Jason Cole, editor-in-chief, fansided.com, Jason Cole 62 on Twitter. Jason, how the hell are you? I can't hear Jason.
San Diego.
Jason! Awesome. Jason, you're in San Diego.
I am, and I'm looking out. I'm on the patio of a house that I'm renting to some buddies, looking out over Mission Bay, and all is good with the world.
Is it possible to look out at a body of water and not get reflective about it?
I'm not feeling terribly reflective at the moment.
Well, hell. All right.
I'm enjoying it. I don't mean to dismiss your theory.
Damn.
But yeah, I'm just smiling and laughing. So
I figured
I'm not reflecting anything like that. So
every time, especially a beautiful body of water like Mission Bay, I would feel like Enigma would be playing in the background, and you'd be thinking about your odyssey from when you were a small boy to where you are now, Jason. And that's not true. Antonio Brown's feeling. You see how this transition works?
That worked. That's clever radio. That's really good radio.
That's what makes me an award winner, baby. Antonio Brown, he's feeling reflective. He's looking back over his life with the Pittsburgh Steelers, what he's accomplished, what he hasn't accomplished yet, and now he's looking towards the future. We heard Buffalo was in, and then they were like, nah. We've been hearing a lot about the Raiders. It feels plausible to me because John Gruden could believe that a 31-year-old wide receiver is how a rebuild should start. Where do you think he ends up?
Well, I mean, I think the Raiders are logical. I think the Jets are logical. I don't understand necessarily trading out the whole thing of trading out Amari Cooper and then, you know, going and trading and getting Antonio Brown. But, I mean, it's hard to argue that Antonio Brown's not a better player. maintain his cost control for the next 3 years. I mean, but I think that the Raiders are just kind of making it up as they go along, and if they see something that they really like, they do it. And Gruden likes older players who, as he often likes to say, have you seen the numbers on the back of his football card? You know, that kind of stuff that he always likes to say. So Antonio Brown fits into that mold. I mean, they signed Jordy Nelson for like $8 million last year.
Yeah.
So it only comes to logic that they would go out and get a guy like Antonio Brown. And I will say this, Antonio Brown is still, I think, you know, he's right there among the top, what, two or three receivers in the game.
Oh, definitely.
I don't see any signs of him slowing down because he really takes care of himself. In a lot of ways, Antonio Brown is the player that if you're going to trade a first-round pick, that's what you want to trade it for. Mm-hmm. You know, that kind of guy, even if it's only 3 years left, okay, before he's 34. I mean, there's some chancy side of it. But he's never been out of shape. He's never really gotten seriously hurt. He works out like a maven. The only problem with him right now is he's bat crazy, you know. And I think has lost all sensibility. Because if you're being reflective, to come back to where we started this, like where are you going to find a quarterback who's better than Roethlisberger and who's going to throw the ball to you more and a team that's going to cater to your needs more than the Steelers have over the last 7-8 years. So I just look at this and I go, the guy's lost his mind.
Do you feel that they are worried, some of the other general managers are worried about these conversations that he's been having in the public, the LeBron show, the shop, the Jeff Darlington interview, and wonder maybe how much longer he really wants to play football before they make a good investment of picks and money for him?
Well, I don't think, if I'm doing this, I'm investing the picks, but I'm looking at Antonio going, I'm not changing your contract. Now, we can have a nice argument about it, but if you say that you're not coming to me unless I change the contract, I'm not trading for you. I'm not doing that. If somebody else wants to do that, that's fine. That's their prerogative. But if it's me, no. Because, I do question his commitment to football. I am not going to reward somebody who has shown outlandish, crazy behavior with more money. It's enough that I'm risking, a high draft pick or a flip of picks or whatever I'm doing. It's enough to do that. But to then, on top of that, give him money, I'm out. That's what I would say.
Jason Cole with us on the show. What's going to happen with Kyler Murray? Is he going to go number one overall?
I just have a hard time believing that Steve Keim, the general manager there, is going to do that. Because if you're Steve Keim, if you go really, really look at this, if you trade Josh Rosen, you will have admitted that the 2017 season, or I'm sorry, the 2018 season, was a monumental failure, okay? Not only did you hire the wrong coach, who then you fired after 1 year, but you drafted a quarterback in the first round who you gave up on after 1 year. And I think that's really hard for a general manager to swallow, along with the fact that the kid's tiny, okay? We're talking about a guy who's 5'10". Maybe he is. Maybe they just announced that he was 5'10". Because they didn't want to announce 5'9", because there's a whole sort of mental hiccup there between 5'9" and 5'10".
Wait, at the combine, they would do that?
Like I said, they may have announced that he was 5'10", even if he's only 5'9".
Wow.
Just to make it sound better. Sort of like John Ross broke Chris Johnson's record, right?
Yeah.
Right? Because everybody's talking about it, and they wanted to make sure that, you know, there was a lot of hype around that when they do their TV show. So I think that all of it plays together. Now, who knows? Maybe he really is 5'10", but he's small. He's a really small kid. And to take that, to be the first team to take a quarterback under 6 feet tall, because Manziel was listed at 6 feet at least,
yeah,
to take a guy that small in the first round, I mean, that hasn't happened since Ted Marchabrota was drafted. And I bet that only a small percentage of your listeners right now can name who Ted Marks Brody even was. And that they don't even know that he was a player.
Jason Cole with us on the show. Well, because I figured I like what Kyler Murray's got good numbers. Okay, I don't want to take anything.
He's really interesting. I hope the kid's great because we all watch great players. Okay?
Don't you feel bad about that though? Like, because we make these arguments for players, and hey, you can only draft one. So if I'm the Cardinals or I'm whoever, I can only draft one player. So there has to be a reason why I don't draft the other guy. And so it just turns into, all right, well, I'd take Dwayne Haskins for this reason. And then it just becomes, hey, you know what? All these problems with Kyler Murray. I got Charlie Casserly telling me that he was having problems with the board. And then we just drag the guy down. And I don't think there's any reason to drag the kid down. He's...
Well, but that is part of the process, okay? It's a vetting process. So you have to look at the positives and negatives. Now, my problem with Charlie's criticism is these were 15-minute interviews. And you're seriously going to come up with the kid's a bad leader, he's not a hard worker, and he's bad on the board in a couple of 15-minute interviews? Like, that's not thorough work. That's not, you know, I'm sorry, I'm not buying that.
I don't know how you can get the leadership thing. Yeah. Now, he says he was told that. That's what he said.
Well, he was told, he was told that. And I don't buy that conclusion can be made that strongly about this kid at this point.
I would agree.
Okay. Now, that doesn't mean it's not true. Okay. Those things may all be true. We will see. But I don't buy it coming out of the combine. And that's the problem. The other thing is, look, I've known him for 20-something years. But Charlie's one of these guys who, when players go against the grain and flex their muscles, because Charlie is former management, he doesn't like that, okay? So when guys try to leverage football against baseball, you know, they don't like it. They didn't like it when Elway did it back in '83, right?
It's true.
I mean, he got hammered. Okay, but he was the number one overall pick at the end of the day, and he was a great player. Maybe Kyler Murray will be the number one pick, and hopefully he'll be a great player because, again, I want to watch great players. I want to see people do great things. That's why we all do this.
Jason Cole with us on the show. I mean, are you still looking over Mission Bay?
Oh, yeah.
You're saying some deep stuff now, brother. So I can tell the water's working.
I am getting very philosophical. I'm getting into the deeper meanings of being a sports writer, which go beyond how good are the pregame hot dogs.
I absolutely love it. Jason Cole with us on the show. Find him on Twitter, at JasonCole62. What have been some of the other things that have been interesting to me? You know, you bring up Kyler Murray, and then I start to think, well, all right, Josh Rosen end up? And then I start thinking, where does Nick Foles end up? Well, how do these dominoes go? Because Miami's a situation where some folks are out there going, hey, you know, if you guys tank it out, it looks like it's a good quarterback class next year. The Jaguars, they seem like they want to get back up on it. I know we've heard the rumblings about whether or not that Nick Foles would end up in Jacksonville. We only have a few minutes left, but where's Josh Rosen in week one? Where's Nick Foles in week one?
Well, Nick Foles, I think, is pretty much going to be in Jacksonville. But in talking to people, I think that's the most comfortable spot for him because it's a team that can compete, and he wants to compete, and they have the money to pay, and they have the desire to pay. So I think that all comes together. New York Giants, sort of into it. I think they're kind of tepid, and they don't have the kind of money to do it. And, you know, I think you're looking at that offensive line going, I'm not sure it's going to work for me if I'm Nick Foles. But I think he'll think about it. Miami, I would be shocked if he ends up playing in Miami. That just doesn't make a lot of sense to me for Foles. Now, Josh Rosen, I could see him going to the Giants. I could see him going to Miami. I think that Josh Rosen is probably better than any other quarterback who's in this draft than Kyler Murray. He might be better than Kyler Murray. That's, you know, a matter of taste. But when you line up guys like Haskins and Locke and those guys, and I would think people would look at that and go, yeah, I'd rather have Rosen. I really truly believe that. I think that Locke and Jones and Haskins, this draft that's coming up smells to me a lot like the E.J. Manuel Geno Smith draft when it comes to quarterbacks. Guys
yes.
who we talked about a lot, but they actually don't get drafted that high.
Yes. I saw a mock where I saw Drew Locke going to Denver, and I'm thinking, man, if they did that, I'd just be hitting all the alarms. That John always just grasping at anything.
I can see it because he's big and he's got the arm strength and all that kind of stuff. I mean, I can see it, but I also know that Elway loves himself some defensive end pass rusher guys, and there's a ton of them in this draft. I would think he would love to get another one.
What if you got a great defense and that quarterback still isn't there? I think John Elway has as much latitude as any general manager you're ever going to find. So to me, it's like, what's the point? Why force the marriage if you don't have the dad poking you in the gun, poking you back with a shotgun? Don't do it. Just augment the defense. Make the defense that much better if that player's there for you. That's what I think. Maybe I'm wrong.
Absolutely. And the value in this draft, I mean, is going to be in the defensive players. So go get one of the star defensive players and play the board a little bit and see if one of those quarterbacks falls to you in the second or third round. It's not that, forget the mock drafts for a little while, but when you talk and to scouts and coaches and when you listen to how they talk about it, not what they exactly say, but the tone of their voice, the words that they use, it just comes back to Geno Smith, E.J. Manuel, like, I like him, but, this. And, mm-hmm. And Haskins looks like Byron Leftwich. Because of the feet and the slow release, people, Locke, he's got the great arm and he's a great athlete, but he's kind of a slow processor.
Jason,
I mean, those kinds of things just jump off the page.
I wish I didn't have to go. I got to go. You know I love you, baby.
All right, anytime, dude. Be good.
Jason Cole, editor-in-chief, fansided.com. Coming up next, will Wade try to do what everybody said should be done? Shouldn't you be fighting for him, right? It's Ken Carman on CBS Sports Radio.